Coming up on Tech News Today, Windows rumors get more and more interesting. Dropbox changes everything. And everybody gets mad. And if you make a Skype call, you go to jail. We'll tell you why next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This is Tech News Today for Friday, June 15th, 2012. Tech News Today is brought to you by Ford, featuring the My Ford mobile smartphone app for electric vehicles. The My Ford mobile app makes the electric driving experience fun and efficient. Learn more about Ford electric vehicle technologies at Ford.com/technology. And by FreshBooks, the easy online invoicing app for small businesses that saves time and gets you paid faster. Join over 3.5 million FreshBooks users and try the service for free for 30 days of unlimited use at FreshBooks.com. Be sure to let them know you heard about it on Tech News Today. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Sarah Lane.
And I'm Jason Howell.
Ayaz Akhtar on vacation today, but helping fill the gap. Darren Kitchen's out as well. Patrick Beja from France. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We're doing very well. Thank you for staying up late to join us. You know, we're moving our live recording time July 2nd to 10 a.m. Pacific, which I think is,
just,
you said, was 7
just
p.m.
For me.
Yeah. So you'll be able to join us earlier in the evening for you.
Yes, possibly. I will do my best to be there as much as I can, even if you don't want me.
That's great.
I love that. That is the right attitude.
Yeah.
More guests should have that.
Because it's 7 p.m., will you be broadcasting from a bistro, enjoying some steak frites?
I won't be enjoying some steak frites, but I might be enjoying some red wine and cheese just to be, you know, very French.
Ah, very nice. Well,
doesn't that sound nice?
What?
If only we had red wine and
great.
Cheese.
If
as
only
well.
Someone were going to France
right.
in like a week.
Oh, yeah.
Sarah
oh.
Lane.
This is going to be good.
Wait.
We have got more Microsoft tablet rumors. You folks who are tired of Apple rumors, you can get prepared to be tired of Microsoft rumors. Dropbox got some updates, podcasting getting a change, and Ethiopia making Skype a crime. But let's take a look at the top 10 stories of the day first in the news feed. The Microsoft Monday announcement rumors turned up a notch last night. The Wrap, a Hollywood blog, reported they had inside information that Microsoft would not only announce a tablet, but a tablet made by Microsoft, a la the Xbox. Mary Jo Foley suspects it might be more of an entertainment-oriented Kindle competitor rather than an iPad competitor, given that the announcement is in Los Angeles. But good job, Microsoft, generating the geek hype.
A lot of people are talking about this, certainly going to be watching it closely. Back in February, when Facebook filed its pre-IPO S-1, the SEC had some concerns about mobile. Quote, assuming that the trend towards mobile continues and your mobile monetization efforts are unsuccessful, ensure that your disclosure fully addresses the potential consequences to your revenue and financial results, rather than just stating they might be negatively affected, said the SEC. So Facebook went ahead and had to revise their statement a bit. Clarification like this is common with the SEC. They've done this for other companies, but just serves as a reminder that Facebook is in the mobile hot seat.
Magnifying glass on them, jumping like ants.
Mm-hmm.
Dropbox has a couple of bits of news for you today. An iOS update lets Dropbox app users manually or automatically upload photos and video from the phone directly to Dropbox using Wi-Fi or your cellular data connection. However, the public folder is going away as of August 1st for new users. Dropbox recently made it so that any file can be linked publicly. They don't think they need to have this public folder anymore. Current users, however, will get to keep their public folders that they have right now.
Vizio, the TV maker, is getting into the computer game. They've made tablets, but now the company has announced three distinct lines of Windows computers: Ultrabooks, mid-sized laptops, and all-in-one desktops, starting at $898, and not a penny less. The new systems mix high-end components with slick designs, including unibody construction, hidden hinges, and full HD displays. CNET's Dan Ackerman calls the computers Mac-like, and he's not the only one saying so.
Yeah, they do kind of look Mac-like. You know, so do the HP Spectre sometimes.
Oh, everything looks Mac-like. Everything looks like everything.
Everything does look like everything.
It's aerodynamic.
Look everything like looks like things.
Judge Richard Posner in the U.S. District Court for Northern Illinois has changed his mind Apple and Motorola can go after each other starting next Wednesday. The judge ordered that, quote, each party may argue that it would be entitled to injunctive relief as to its patent or patents were the other party found to have infringed. The dispute centers on patents related to mobile devices like the iPhone and Motorola's Droid.
Oh, you thought we weren't going to talk about Apple rumors anymore. Ha! According to analyst Ming-Chi Kuo from KGI, who provided a tip to Apple Insider, Apple is looking to launch a 13-inch Retina MacBook either this September or early October. Kuo had previously correctly predicted that Apple would drop the 17-inch MacBook Pro and sell the 15-inch MacBook Pro with Retina display along with a previous generation without Retina, so he has a pretty good track record.
Early adopters take heart. That impulse to be first can sometimes pay off big. An original and fully operational Apple One computer motherboard sold this morning at Sotheby's for $374,500 U.S. The auction house originally estimated the item would sell for $120,000 to $180,000. Fewer than 50 of the Apple Ones are thought to even exist, with only 6 in operating condition.
I can. Not so good with the keeping of the secrets sometimes.
I can't keep a secret.
Yeah, I can't. You know all those cool new top-level domains like .unicorn? That's our favorite here at TNT. ICANN says it accidentally published the addresses of top-level domain applicants, but has since taken them down. Posted a notice yesterday indicating that it had temporarily disabled viewing of the application details to remove the postal addresses of some primary and secondary contacts for top-level domain or TLD applications. Whoop-dee.
NPD's numbers brought some disappointing news to the video game industry. May U.S. retail sales of video game hardware, software, and accessories fell 28%, dropping for the 6th consecutive month in May. Now, the study only tracks sales of new physical products, excludes used, rental, and digital, so the news may not be as bad as it looks. Diablo 3, unsurprisingly, topped the charts, the first time since July 2010 that a PC game had done so. And what was that July 2010 title? Blizzard's StarCraft II.
More data, more numbers, this time in the search engine space. Hitwise has come out with new data. Google has accounted for 65% of all U.S. searches conducted in the 4 weeks ending on June 2nd, which is down 3% over the same period last year. Moving over to the Bing corner, Bing-powered searches were up 5% to 28.1% of all searches, although direct Bing searches were at about 13.7%. What about Yahoo? Their share was at 14.95%. Another interesting stat, one-word searches are up a lot on longer strings. They saw a 19% increase, while all others went down. So people are indeed into the brevity thing.
Yes.
One word. That's all I want.
And those are our top 10 stories. Let's take a quick break. Thank our sponsor, Ford, featuring the My Ford mobile smartphone app for electric vehicles. You know, a lot of people are pushing their apps these days. You may roll your eyes, but this one actually helps save you money, helps save you time, makes better use of your electric car. You can take advantage of value charging, for instance, powered by Microsoft. It's based on your local utilities participation and allows Ford customers to take advantage of off-peak or reduced rates from your utility without having to go through some complicated setup process or doing a lot of math. You just use the app to say, charge me when it's going to save me money, and you get charged up and you don't spend an arm and a leg. Use go times to precondition your vehicle's temperature before your departure to conserve battery energy and make the vehicle the right temperature. Monitor charging, get alerts, find charging stations, plan out your drive. You can share driving tips in the forums. There's even gaming features. They have leaderboards. If you're into achievements, which any of you video game players know is a bigger deal than maybe some people think, you can rank on the leaderboard of people who have driven the farthest, saved the most CO2, etc., etc. Check it out. The My Ford mobile app makes the electric driving experience fun and efficient. And the 2012 Ford Focus Electric is available for purchase right now. Learn more about Ford electric vehicle technologies at Ford.com/technology. And we thank Ford for their support of Tech News Today. Let's dig a little deeper into the stories. That's why we got you here, Patrick Beja. We talked some about the rumors surrounding Microsoft's sudden announcement coming Monday afternoon in Los Angeles. The latest, as we mentioned earlier, is that it will be a Microsoft-designed tablet. All Things D and The Wrap both confirmed that their sources tell them that's what it's going to be. Mary Jo Foley says, what if it's not what you think, though? What if it's Windows Embedded or Windows Phone? Or even Windows RT, but an e-reader that competes with the Kindle Fire. and competes with the Kindle Fire not just on reading books, but also on the movies and TV shows. So it's not going up against the iPad.
I think this is actually almost a more interesting market for Microsoft. And clearly the Kindle Fire has been a big hit. It sold a lot of units, although there are still jokes among some of my friends when they actually see a fire in the wild, like, whoa, look, somebody's actually
fire!
Using one. They sold all of them. Where
are
they?
In a crowded theater.
People are, they're all reading 50 Shades of Grey in a closet alone somewhere. I don't know. But it also kind of fits into the why is this happening in LA thing. If it's a more of a consumption device where you would be reading and listening to music and watching movies, it kind of makes sense.
And recently, Barnes & Noble and Microsoft just settled that patent dispute, Mary Jo points out. They made a lot of mention of Windows Phone in there. That could mean a Windows Phone-based device, or it could just mean a Windows RT-based device, and Barnes & Noble is going to integrate into Windows Phone and whatever this new device is. I wouldn't be shocked. That seems to make the most sense, that it's some kind of Barnes & Noble Microsoft partnership. That's how they settled the patent. It's going to be co-branded. I don't think we're going to see an Xbox tablet. That's the other thing David Gewirtz from ZDNet is trying to argue. I think we would have heard about that at E3.
You're saying it would be a Barnes & Noble Windows tablet? That sounds a little bit strange.
Well, it might be a Microsoft tablet powered by the Barnes & Noble store, right? And so it's Microsoft branded, and they got some crazy name like Kin or Zune. But it's got the Barnes & Noble store as the place where you get all your stuff.
But they're going through a huge effort to make the Xbox sort of an entertainment hub. So why not use that, maybe not the brand, but at least that environment to make an entertainment device with, you know, videos and music. And, you know, they made a huge deal about the Xbox music thing.
What if it's called Smart Glass?
For example, yeah. Maybe.
So it's not an Xbox tablet, but it integrates with that. That's a really good point.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems to me that, I mean, Windows Phone on a tablet would seem weird because they have Windows 8 for tablets, and it would really be awkward to have two different systems for the tablet. If they make it, like, maybe you can't even load apps on the thing. It's just an Xbox-like entertainment experience, and it's relatively cheap. It's very intriguing. I mean, I'm always interested in what Microsoft does. And here, they're sort of managing to create something that no one can really pin down. And that's very intriguing. Now, it might be very disappointing, too, but I'm hoping for something good.
Yeah, I think everybody realizes that the cheaper end is a better place to compete with. So I wouldn't be shocked to see that. Smart Glass sounds like a tablet name, the more I think about it. And now I can say it right instead of calling it Project Glass.
Yeah, right. Which you did five times last time we talked about it. I don't know. Smart Glass. What about X-Tab? That's cooler to me than Smart Glass. Oh, you laugh.
I see where you're going with that. It's like you got your Xbox, your X-Tab.
Right.
They make the X brand work.
I just feel like Xbox is a very strong brand.
X-Slate, says Jeff Mees.
Or, right. Maybe Slate, but X-L-A-T-E.
He wrote that too, actually. He wrote
Slate.
Both of those, yeah.
I don't know how you'd say that.
You just call it Slate if you're Microsoft.
Right.
And don't explain why.
Yeah, they have a tendency maybe of going, you know, something's working. You know, that marketing crazy habit of like the marketing guys hone in on something that's working and they're like, we have to do this, more of this. And I don't know that the Xbox brand would work for everything, but maybe.
Yeah, well, we will find out. Doors open Monday at 3:30 p.m. Pacific in Los Angeles. We will be wrapping up Tech News Today right around the time this thing gets going. So as soon as TNT is over on Monday, on the live stream, just hang around and we'll keep an eye on it and talk about it. Maybe need to slot that into TNT after the fact. Be good practice for all those Apple announcements that are going to happen.
I know, right?
During TNT's new time after July. Dropbox ditching public folders didn't seem like a big deal to me, but whenever you change anything on the internet with any kind of service and say you're taking something away, people freak.
Yeah, so as Tom mentioned earlier in the show, the iOS update is a good thing for a lot of Dropbox users. You've got more functionality of uploading photos and videos right from your phone to the cloud, which is something that Android users have had for a while. But What's really got people up in arms is this whole new accounts will not be offered public folders. The way that developers found out about it, Dropbox sent an email to registered developers and said, as of August 1st, new user accounts will be built without the public folder. Now, apparently, that's because public folders are repetitive if Dropbox is already adding the ability to share to any file or folder with a simple link, which is something that they introduced back in April. The way that works is it's called the get link feature. So it doesn't generate a direct link to a file that I share with Tom, which the public folder does. Instead, if I want to share a link with Tom, it's basically pointing Tom to a web page to download the file. A lot of services also work that way. Google Drive is just one of them. So even though you still have access to the file, it adds another layer. But it's not so much, I think, about the inconvenience of it. It's that it would be harder for me to, if I wanted to share the file with a large group of people, to embed that somewhere on a website or a blog.
You can make a folder public. You can make any folder public now. So you could just create your own public folder, right?
It's even simpler. I mean, any folder can become a public folder. I really don't understand the complaints. And I really think this is a case of no matter what you do, you know, give a puppy to everyone and someone will complain. I don't know.
No. Give a puppy to everyone. As soon as you stop giving the puppy to everyone and say, okay, everybody can keep their puppies. We're not taking the puppies away, but we're not going to give any more free puppies. Everyone gets really upset. Oh, you don't care about puppies anymore. I mean, that seems to be what's going on here.
I can understand.
You can go over here and get all the free puppies you want. We're just not going to give them to you anymore.
I understand, you know, if someone would be angry about puppy deprivation, that could be something. But there's still lots of puppies in that other box. You just have to reach out and grab a puppy. It's strange.
I think this is Dropbox is so popular and people really take it for granted, in my opinion. It's like, well, this is cloud service that I have. So Dropbox says, listen, we're not taking away features.
Right. Anybody who's got it.
We're just changing the way that we're going to offer features to new accounts, even though they can still share whatever they want to with as many people as they want to. And yes, if you're already a user, nothing changes for you. You're cool.
The
internet explodes.
At this point, I think, okay, people are crazy for getting so upset about this. But at the same time, if I'm Dropbox, why get rid of the feature? If they're going to be this mad, just, okay, so you get a public folder if it makes you happy.
They have to keep compatibility. They have to keep it, you know, I can understand. My reaction to this is, shut up, internet. Shut up. Go to your room.
No puppy for you, internet.
Web1990 in the chat says, from a workflow perspective, they've taken away functionality. If there is a workflow that you're using regularly and three steps become four, I can see why it does really upset you. That's never a good thing to feel like that you're moving backwards as far as getting things done goes. But if you think about it, it would be worse if they're like, hey, you had a free account and now you're charged $5 a month.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's something that would upset me. And the public folder did always kind of confuse me. What am I supposed to put in here? Because all of my folders I can share with people.
Really, all that's happened now is if you're a new user, if you're a current user, nothing changes. If you're a new user, you have to create a public folder if you want to have that functionality. So you have one extra step one time. Spay and neuter your pets. That's all I have to say about the matter. This Dropbox thing is going to look really silly next to this next story. Legislation in Ethiopia was passed last month that is going into effect now that criminalizes the use of all VoIP services, including Skype, Google Voice, anything on the internet that makes an internet call is considered a security threat. And the penalty for using an illegal phone service can be up to 15 years in prison plus heavy fines. Just making a phone call, making one phone call over the internet is punishable by 3 to 8 years in prison plus fines. There's two reasons behind this. One, they're saying, oh, it's a security threat because we can't monitor these calls. The terrorists win if we allow VoIP. The other one is that there is only one telco in Ethiopia that provides internet access and telephony. That's called Ethio Teleco. And they have a monopoly that they don't want you to get around by using VoIP.
Right. State-owned. Yeah. So they don't want to cut into any of that at all.
This new law gives the telco the power to prohibit video chatting if they so wish, social media, email, any other data transfer service capable of communicating information, again, all in the service of security. Ethio Teleco also blocks Tor, which implies that they're doing deep packet inspection, because that's the only way to get Tor, which is the Onion router, which is a proxy system that allows you to get around these sorts of restrictions. It's, you know, you may think, oh, it's Ethiopia, they're a backwards country. They're not. Ethiopia is the world's fifth fastest growing economy over the past decade. They had 8.4% growth from 2001 to 2010. This is a country on the rise in most ways, but there's a huge step backwards here.
And on the rise in technology, too. That's why I look at this, and besides the idea that somebody could spend 15 years in prison for conducting a Skype conversation, how in the world do they plan to enforce this?
Well, it's easy. Well, it's easy to put in place. Basically, Ethio Teleco kills all VoIP packets, right? And so you can't make a VoIP call. And then if you try to use Tor, they block that. And if they catch you trying to get around with some other proxy system, then they notice, hey, they're using a proxy system.
And that's how they
get... they throw you in jail for 15
years. Yeah, right, because they say, you tried really hard.
Yeah.
You were really being a bad person. You knew that it was illegal, and we had shut down all the easy avenues to do this.
The fact of the matter is, probably not many people are going to go to jail for using VoIP services in Ethiopia, but it's going to provide a huge break on innovation in a country that needs more fluid innovation to keep itself growing right now.
Absolutely. Are you kidding? I mean, I don't make many phone calls at all now, but... in the traditional sense, anyway, but we have all sorts of other options. Patrick, does this scare you as much as it scares me?
I don't know. You know, I really don't know a lot about Ethiopia. I don't know if it's a democratic country. I don't. The only thing I remember is, you know, there's a lot of starvation. And
there
that's
was.
Maybe
there
a
was.
Bit it's, outdated. Yeah exactly.
And it is a democracy, although they have a very authoritarian regime.
Right. It doesn't sound like something a democracy would put in place. So that's where it's a little bit worrying to me. If, you know, is there any benefits to this? Does it mean that the state-owned telco can develop the infrastructure better because they're better founded? Or
no,
no I don't. Yeah, no. I'm really trying hard.
Yeah.
To
see a silver lining, right? Yeah, no, I don't think so. It's just a very disappointing development in what otherwise is a very promising country. But they're going the wrong direction. They're going the direction of China and Iran, as far as the internet goes,
it really sounds like someone is trying to make a lot of money on the, you know, if who owns Ethio Teleco? Yeah, states. Who's the state? Is it? I'm
it's
sure
a one,
someone
it's
is
kind of a one party democracy right now.
Right.
So yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, that's the disappointing part of this. It's like they say it's because of security threats, but it's because Ethio Teleco wants to be the monopoly.
Yeah.
That's pretty obvious.
All right. Well, we've got some lighter news to get to. But first, let's take a break. Thank our other sponsor, FreshBooks.com. I use FreshBooks. It really, really makes invoicing a lot easier. I'm not somebody who knows a lot about invoicing, but I do a lot of freelancing, a lot of contract work, and I don't want to know a lot about invoicing. Thankfully, FreshBooks keeps me from having to know all that much about it because it makes it so darn easy. I need to know who I'm billing, what their address is, you know, their phone number, how much I'm charging them, and their email address. And I can put all that into FreshBooks. And then every time I have to bill them, it's super easy. I just put in the current amount, what the work is, press a button. FreshBooks takes care of everything else. They format the invoice. They make it look nice. They send it to them by email. They'll even send it by mail for a slight extra charge if you've got somebody who's old-fashioned. But if you do it by email, that's the best way, because then people can pay over the internet. They'll accept credit card payments, PayPal, get the money to you, get you paid faster. And your accountant will love you around tax time because they give you automatic late payment. They keep track of all this stuff so that you know who you billed and for how much. And you can just hand over all of that stuff to your CPA. FreshBooks lets you try their service for free. Sign up right now. You get 30 days of unlimited use, clients, staff, everything. No limits, just by signing up at FreshBooks.com. So you don't have to take my word for it. Take it for a spin. Be sure to tell them you heard about it on Tech News Today. That helps us out when you're asked during sign up. Where'd you hear about FreshBooks? A little drop-down menu. Choose Tech News Today and get those 30 days free, unlimited use. Join 3.5 million FreshBook users that have been sending and paying invoices at FreshBooks.com. And we thank FreshBooks for their support of Tech News Today. And I thank them for their support of all the stuff that I do, because it definitely makes things a lot easier to use them. Apple's given podcasts a push out of iTunes.
Out on their ear?
Yeah, that's what the All Things D headline says.
You've grown up.
Peter Kafka reporting that Apple may actually take podcasts out of iTunes and iOS 6. The developer version of this shows podcasting gone from the app. In fact, not only podcasts, but audiobooks and iTunes U are no longer in the More menu in the iTunes app. And so that's got everybody wondering, well, what's going on? This is a beta, obviously. Is it just an oversight? Is it going to be put back? According to Peter Kafka, Apple's going to develop podcasts in its own app before iOS 6 eventually comes out. And there's word that iTunes U will move to its own app. There is an iTunes U app, I believe, already. Mm-hmm. So maybe that one just gets beefed up. And no word on audiobooks.
There is, but I don't think there's a store in the
iTunes. Exactly. So they'd have to add the store to it and kind of flesh it out a little bit. And maybe Apple comes up with their own audiobooks app as well, although that'd be kind of competing with Audible. Audible provides the audiobooks to Apple, so that's kind of weird. But I like the idea of podcasting either being in a radio app, maybe called iTunes Radio or Apple Radio or just Radio, though there's already a
just
radio app.
Podcasts. Well, it's, you know, it has a name. We were discussing before the show.
And there's video podcasts, which doesn't fit in radio. You're right.
Yeah. That's cool. That would be, I think, a way of supporting podcasts if you give them their own app. They're a little bit lost in the iTunes store, and I think that would be good. I suspect, though, that you would need to download the podcast app, just like you have, you know, there are a number of apps that you
like
need to download, like the iBooks, and yeah, exactly.
Mm. I don't
but
like that.
If it's, no, I don't like it either, but if it's a fully fledged app just for podcasts, and podcasts would still be supported in the iTunes software on the desktop, so it's still very much part of the iTunes ecosystem, why not? If they make it cool, then sure, yeah, I'm all for it. I'm currently using Downcast as my podcasting app.
Yeah,
it's very good. So I hope they make it at least as good. Although that would mean Downcast would get less used, which sucks a little bit. But
and there's several really good podcasting apps out there already. So I kind of wonder if Apple's behind the game. But when Apple gets into something, it always gets a lot of uptake.
I love this idea. I've said for a long time that iTunes holding all of these, you know, different downloadable content under the name iTunes makes no sense. iTunes means music to me. I understand that iTunes also includes iTunes U content or podcasts or apps. I mean, it's like you can find all of that stuff, but it doesn't make any sense. We've just gotten used to it. But anybody who's new to iOS is going to be like, what? I don't understand. Why this is all the way that it is. So I welcome this very much. I also welcome the idea of, this is something that Leo and I get asked on iPad Today every single week. Someone goes, why can't I subscribe to a podcast on my iPad in iTunes?
Yeah.
And I always say, have you tried something like Downcast or Instacast? That's a podcatcher.
Or Stitcher.
That would be better suited to you, because you're right. You have to sync with your iTunes account on your computer, and it's just annoying.
That's why I started using, I used Stitcher for a while. I've tried out Pocket Cast and iCatcher, and I'm using Downcast right now. But I did that because I was tired of having to go sync and manage things.
And the thing is, Apple, there's no way that Apple doesn't know that this is a frequent complaint that people have. And yeah, they might be late to the game, but that's never stopped Apple before than trying to make a product and undermining, you know, the third party developers who have brought something to the table that they know people want.
Now, as a podcast creator, I love the idea of Apple providing some more visibility, although I worry that you're right, Patrick, that people will have to download it separately. But Apple's pretty good at kind of encouraging you to do that sort of thing. How do you feel about it?
Still, I think it definitely lowers the barrier to entry because, as you were saying, Sarah, the having to sync to iTunes is completely annoying. No one who isn't really into podcasting already is going to do that. Mm-hmm. So if you just have to download an app and then all of a sudden you have all these shows that you can subscribe to and maybe they can even get downloaded automatically, you know, without you having to launch the app, just like the what's it called? The kiosk thing. Newsstand downloads the new edition of your newspaper that you are subscribed to automatically when your iPad is connected to the power plug. If it does that for podcasts too, it just makes everything easier and just exposes our shows to more people. So I think it will be a beneficial thing for us podcast creators.
Now, Apple's in the news also for someone's time capsule backup failing and losing photos.
Yes.
They're getting sued?
Yes, he's taken them to small claims court. The claim isn't that small. A man in British Columbia named Perminder Tung says that his time capsule backup drive crashed, but not did it just crash. It took away a year of photographs, including those showing the birth of his first child. So very, very sentimental
important
information.
Okay.
Stuff that's like, if it goes away, you are mad. So he filed a suit in small claims court and says he bought the Apple time capsule back in June of 2009, so about 3 years ago. Used it to back up two MacBooks and an iPhone. When it started to go awry, he took it back to the Apple store. He says that they told him data's lost, it's irretrievable. He also says that somebody at the store told him the product had numerous issues related to defects in the design and the power supply, was then told Apple had issued a recall for this time capsule, but that his particular model was outside the recall's time frame. Basically, this guy, who is also a lawyer, by the way, so he knows how to file a lawsuit. He says, listen, well, I know what many of you are thinking is, that's so stupid. If you care about something that much, you should have multiple backups, period, end of story. This is, you're in the wrong. And he's saying, it's not just that. It was that I bought a faulty model. I believed that it could do something that it could not do. And it had issues that I wasn't aware of ahead of time. And that's why I put faith into it that I would not have had I known more information.
But this is
at the ready.
Backup. It's not supposed to be the only copy. So did he not have these photos on his actual Mac?
Doesn't sound like it.
Yeah. So then it's just an external drive.
Right. It's just storage.
He's not using
it's not a backup.
It the way it was intended to be used. And drives can fail. Yep. Like, granted, the law works in mysterious ways. He may end up having a case. And I certainly understand his frustration at the time capsule, because I've had my own frustrations with time capsule. But that's why I always use something like CrashPlan. In addition to a hard drive, and I have a copy
about
on my Mac.
These things. You know about these things. The guy, if he's just a guy who buys a time capsule, and on the face of it, it's supposed to be the thing that will allow you to never lose anything because it's all backed up. He's not going to have a redundant thing, you know, on top of it.
Yeah, but he's obviously somewhat of a sophisticated user if he's storing photos on the time capsule without having them backed up from
Maybe his Mac crashed. Maybe his Mac crashed and crashed at
the
same time.
Maybe you're right.
Babe. Yeah. But I mean, the main issue is the photos of, you know, the birth of his child. How much he's suing for $25,000. Is that going to replace the photos of his kids being of his kid being born?
Yeah, it kind of feels like a civil suit type of thing.
Yeah. I feel that for sure. Yeah. That's why use a cloud backup, use a local backup. And then keep it on your computer.
I also, it's like, of course, that's the advice that all of us give to people. It's like, you can't rely on one backup because if something happens to that backup, then you are screwed. What he's saying is, there was something wrong with this time capsule that I bought. And
is that a suable offense for a product to break? Do all products have to be perfect all the time? In other words, was it an unreasonable problem?
Exactly.
And I don't know. Hard drives crash pretty regularly, so
he says he's had enough time to get enough research online and through other people from the Apple community to say, I am not alone. This is a huge problem for a lot of people. I don't know. Apple can obviously afford this. $25,000 is basically zero when it comes to Apple. But then it would set a precedent for other cases. And it'll be interesting to see if he gets the money that he's asking for.
Let's finish up with lunch. In May, 9-year-old Martha, a.k.a. Veg, on her blog, stands for Veritas Ex Gustu, Truth From Tasting. 9-year-old Martha started a blog where she posted a picture of her school lunch and a brief explanation of what she thought of it and some ratings as to its health and tastiness. She had permission and support from the school.
Wait a second. She's a 9-year-old
yes.
who gets a Latin nickname and has a blog with clever and intelligent posts about the status of the food in her school. I can't even believe this is not a hoax already. Like this, she's too good to be true.
You read the posts? They're written by a 9-year-old. Now, granted, they might have hired a very savvy writer to write like a 9-year-old.
No, I'm not saying it's a hoax. I'm just saying she's a genius that's going to grow up to save the world or something. 9-year-old, that's fantastic.
But we haven't explained why we're talking, because her blog got banned by the local council. She had permission from the school. She had support from her father, who is mentioned a lot in the blog, and that may explain some of the savviness. He seems to be really helping her out with it.
Maybe he's a Latin aficionado.
She started getting children from around the world sending her pictures of their school lunches. She was posting those. The blog became very popular. She started something at Mary's Meals, which is a charity that sets up school lunch programs in impoverished areas. And as of this morning, she had raised over £45,000 for Mary's Meals, thanks to her blog. The Argyle and Bute Council, Council, which funds the school, decided to ban the blog yesterday, June 14th. Veg posted a goodbye post on her blog saying they made her stop blogging so she wouldn't be posting anymore. And she was very sad because she didn't think she was going to raise any more money for Mary's Meals. Immediately after the outpouring, the tenancy changed their decision. Today on BBC Radio 4, Roddy McEwish, leader of the council, said he has instructed senior officials to immediately withdraw the ban on pictures from the school dining hall, saying that there's no room for censorship in his council and there never will be. And he'll meet with Martha's father to work this out. I hadn't seen if a new post had been made at Never Seconds. Let me pull it up right now.
Last time I looked, it sounded like she said she'd be back at it on Monday.
Okay, good. She's got a thank you, and she'll be back at it.
See you on Monday.
Very nice. Now, the Argyle and Bute Council stepped in on this because they employ the school folks that run the cafeteria, and they thought, after there was a national headline about the blog kind of deriding what the pictures looked like, what the meals looked, frankly, the blog posts are mostly positive about the things she likes and thought were tasty, et cetera, et cetera. But national press headlines caused them to think there were unwarranted attacks on the school's catering service, which have led to catering staff fearing for their jobs. And so you have to ban this way too powerful 9-year-old from attacking the catering staff. This escalation means we had to act to protect staff from the distress and harm it was causing by a 9-year-old girl. In particular, the photographic images uploaded appear to only represent a fraction of the choices available to pupils. Yeah, it was the fraction she chose. And she actually explains in her blog post, like, I picked the macaroni today because I thought it looked really good. Like, what a weird overreaction. Also, what a weird thing to gain so much attention. It's just a girl taking pictures of her food.
Well, I know once this got pulled, the celebrity chef and big on social media, Jamie Oliver.
The naked chef.
Got behind this and said, everybody needs to support Martha. So there was certainly a lot of attention, you know, from people who didn't know about the story otherwise. And this is the sort of story that totally goes viral socially, because it's just so ridiculous that this poor 9-year-old girl gets her blog banned about her school lunches. Then again, okay, and I understand that the town council was overreacted. Then again, maybe there are parents who are looking at this blog because their other kids are reading it and going, what the heck, my kid's eating that? And maybe placing threatening phone calls to people at the school. So there might have been staff members that really were kind of freaked out about, oh, what's going on here? This is getting a little bit out of control. Maybe we just shouldn't be publicizing this in a certain way. The food still looks like garbage to me.
Yeah, well,
looks pretty terrible.
The fact of the matter is, the food looks the way food looks at a school cafeteria. And if people didn't know that's what it looked like, I mean, then the blog is doing a service. That doesn't give anybody the excuse to make threatening phone calls if that happened.
And,
obviously,
yeah, no.
But you
I'm
don't
just,
shut up the 9-year-old girl.
I'm trying to figure out why adults got so afraid of this blog.
Patrick, you think it's a hoax, huh?
No.
I can't say the thought didn't cross my mind when I was reading through this. Like, is this a setup? Because it is so well done. But I think it's just because her father's helping her out a lot with it. Because the posts definitely feel like they're written by her.
Yeah. I don't want to be the guy who supports the bad guys, but I can understand how the council would sort of freak out and overreact and go like, what? This is bad. Everyone's going to gang up on us and we can't allow, you know, if you allow her to take pictures of her food, should she be allowed to take picture in the class, you know, in the classroom? Or maybe she's going to be taking pictures. Someone else is going to be taking pictures in the courtyard. Or it's sort of, I understand it shouldn't be forbidden, but I can understand also that people who have been doing this job in the administration for a long time, you know, public workers, are freaking out a little bit about this sudden openness about everything they're doing.
Well, but in her defense, she went to the principal and said, yes. Can I do this? Can I bring my camera? And I will just, and all of her pictures are just of the plate of food. You never see any people in them.
Of course.
You know, so she's being very responsible about it.
But what about this school is cool with it?
Looks lovely.
What about the next school that it doesn't want this to happen?
Yeah, but you don't blame the person for doing it right when someone else goes and does it wrong.
This is a case of a bunch of adults saying, child is too powerful. Stop her.
No, but wait a second. If the school, the other school doesn't want it to happen and the kid takes pictures on and puts them on the internet, you can't then say to the kid, oh, no, your school doesn't want you to do it.
Sure you
so
can.
You can't. But the other school, at the other school, it's cool to do it. Everyone's going to say, well, why doesn't want the second school?
I'm going to say that, too, because I don't think it's so threatening for us to actually see what is being fed to children in our schools. I think that's probably a really good thing. So I don't think any school should ban this. But a school would be within its rights to do it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm just trying to understand why they would overreact that way.
Yeah. You know, the other thing that's really interesting here is the fact that when a national newspaper wrote a story about this blog, the reaction was, let's ban it. Let's ban the blog, right? The mass media said something, let's ban it. When the internet then reacted to the banning on a distributed level, they said, oh, no, we would never ban it. Censorship is not in our blood. It's a very different reaction to the different form of media.
I think they tried to bury the story, and when they realized it was getting too much attention, even, you know, if it had just been the media, because everyone in the media started talking about it and saying, what's happening there? Why is this beautiful, innocent little girl who's trying to talk, to express herself being hammered down by the horrible armies of oppression? Then it started changing. And I think that, you know, the media contributed to this as much as the internet did.
Hey, teacher, leave those kids alone.
Well, pressure's on, Martha. Also, get those blog posts to be of a certain caliber so Tom doesn't say it sounds like it's written by a 9-year-old. Jeez, tough
yes,
break.
Step up. Come on.
Also, I'm waiting for the movie of this story. I think there's something there.
On Lifetime.
After school special.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
All right.
Could happen to you.
Oh, we got to finish up here. Let's check what's on the calendar there, Sarah.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos will announce the global launch of the Kindle Mobile Learning Initiative on Wednesday, June 20th at a press conference in Washington, D.C. Affordable Intel Ivy Bridge Core i3 processors are coming after June 24th. So, you know, end of the month type of thing. Speaking of the rest of the month, next week, I'm actually not going to be sitting in this chair. I will be remote for the week. I'll be at Le Web in London. The conference is going on Tuesday and Wednesday of next week, and it will be streamed live. I am talking to the founders of Food Spotting and Get Glue. And I almost said Evernote, but that's not actually who I'm talking to, which is all... both great services that I use. Really excited about that. Hopefully you can all tune in, and we're going to rebroadcast them here on Twit as well.
And then you're going to stay up late and do TNT over Skype?
That's right. It'll be 11 p.m. my time. And I might be a little drunk, but I'll be here.
Normal.
But wait a second. You're going to be at Le Web. So you're going to be, Le Web is in Paris. So you're going to be in Paris.
No, I'm going to be in London. The Paris Le Web is in...
So you're not going to be in Paris?
Well, I am actually 2 weeks later.
I don't understand.
It's so confusing. I know. I'm like a
She's going on vacation after Le Web in London.
I will actually be in France is the short version of the story. This June Le Web is in addition to the Parisian Le Web, so it's London and Paris. I don't know. Cats and dogs getting along.
Okay.
Yeah, mass insanity.
Yeah.
And time for incoming.
Incoming message.
We have Dan's voicemail to 260TNT show with an idea for Nokia. See what you think of it.
Hi there, TNT crew. This is Dan from CompuTestWorks.com. I was about Nokia and their troubles. One of the things that I think Tom mentioned is have them do some kind of killer feature, you know, a camera or something like that that blows everyone away. That sort of, if they had done something like that to begin with, they wouldn't be in this problem. Saying that what they need to do to get out of it is to do something they've never done before, you know, sort of goes against their corporate DNA. So I was thinking this. How about, if they wanted to roll something out that might be really killer, how about this? Capbusters! They could offer to do a rebate of anyone who goes over their data cap usage, you know, sends in the bill with the overage amount highlighted and circled and whatever, and they will send you a rebate. They could do that. You know, it would be a bureaucratic hassle for them, probably for the people who signed up for it. But it would be something they could roll out right away. It would be on all carriers. And as people get bitten by these data caps that are starting to get rolled out, you know, Verizon just did theirs, it might be something that people look at and say, hey, that's a real feature I'd like to have. So it would be a lot freer for them. You know, it would lose them a lot of money. But it's either that, you know, if it's, you know, throw it to the end zone instead of circling the drain, right? Don't keep doing the same thing. Try something big, mortgage the company's future on it, and hope that works. The show.
This guy should do infomercials.
Go Dan! Yeah. Fired up. I don't even know why. Okay, I think it's funny. He's like, it would lose him a lot of money, but it'd be a good...
Right.
He means it's a loss leader, right?
Mm-hmm.
I love the idea as a consumer of a device manufacturer saying, hey, we'll help you with your cap overages. I don't know if Nokia, in a money-losing situation, could afford to do it.
Nokia,
it's an intriguing idea.
Though. Yeah, I mean, we talked about this on the show yesterday. It's like... The clock is ticking. Nokia really has to, I mean, they're laying a lot of people off and trying to turn something around. And although, yeah, this is, it's sort of a goodwill effort and could get them some attention, I just don't, I don't see them in a particular time period to be doing a lot of experimentation.
Yeah. RJ wrote in and suggested that they go back to what made them famous in the previous days and have changeable faceplates and snake on all their phones, and they'll be fine.
That would work.
Yeah, maybe that'll work.
Just a little bit of flavor here. Apparently, Nokia, you know, they're laying off 5,000 people.
We talked about that yesterday.
Right. That represents, from what I understand from my significant other who's Finnish, 1% of the working force of Finland. So they're not happy about it.
Yeah, I bet they're not.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah. 1%. One company laying off 1% of the whole country's workforce. That's momentous.
We got a review from Momo, London University of Greenwich, who says he has one of those Let's Pizza vending machines on the university campus. He says, all I can say, it makes good pizza. It's edible and quite tasty. Once you pop in some money, all you end up is staring at the machine while it cooks like a mosquito to a flame. Also good when you're drunk or high and can't cook for Jack. Okay. I'm not sure if that's such a ringing endorsement after all.
University campuses, slam dunk.
Yeah.
So it'll be hard to stock those pizzas. Good point, Momo. And, you know,
now
stay
I'm
in
hungry.
School.
Yeah, please stay in school.
Next email from Dan in Calgary, Alberta says, you mentioned on the show yesterday that Skype credits actually expire. That's not entirely true, despite what Skype tells you via those email warnings. I bought Skype credit in 2010. I hardly ever use it, so I wanted to find out how to keep the credit I paid for active. To clarify, credit never expires and goes away forever. It just becomes inactive after 180 days of not being used. If that happens, you can log into Skype's website, use a link to reactivate the credit. All this, including the link to click on to reactivate credit, is detailed in the Skype support section. Just wanted to clear that up and stop anybody from having to keep calling themselves every few months in fear of losing their credits. Dan, I'm glad you pointed this out, because this has happened to me, and I thought that they were gone forever because there was about a year period where I just didn't use it.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't use my credits.
So you can go reactivate them. That's great.
Yeah. Well, thanks, I've already paid, so.
No.
So you win, Skype, but I won't do it again. Round, shame Skype. On me.
A reminder from Jason about our new video formats.
Yeah, just a real quick last time reminder before next week. We have new formats rolling out, particularly HD video feeds. We're preparing for those. I said in the past that it would be on this show. It will be eventually, but I think in this first pass, it's not going to be. So it's not going to change on TNT necessarily immediately. But if you have a second-gen iPod Touch, older players like that, you might not be able to see the updated format on the large video feed. You'll want to subscribe to the mobile format. It's a smaller format that should work on that device. iTunes is going to give, you know, see an incompatible format and just stop syncing completely, and you might not even know it. So make sure and check. Go to twit.tv/watch, and you can find more information and sample files that you can use to check the compatibility of your devices.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for submitting stories in our subreddit. Go join the thousands of people in there. It's a really well-done community. Huge thanks to our moderators. TechNewsToday.reddit.com, place to vote on stories that you'd like to see us talk about. We didn't talk about the Wozniak video where he says Siri was better before Apple bought it, but that's, you know, there's lots of great stories in there that we don't get a chance to talk about. So check it out. Subreddit is technewstoday.reddit.com. Thanks to everybody who submits, everybody who moderates, and everybody who votes. Helps us make our show every day. Also, if you found something this week on TNT that you thought was a particularly great moment, email us about it. TNT@twit.tv with the subject line best of. That helps us put together our best of show at the end of the year. And thank you, Patrick Beja, for taking the time, staying up late, and joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's always an immense pleasure.
Absolutely. Likewise. Anything going on with the Movielicious or the Phileas Club or Le Rendezvous Tech or any of your ventures that you want to talk about?
There's always lots of stuff going on with all those shows. You can find my French shows at the site nowatch.net, where there's a lot of other shows as well. And you can find the Movielicious about movies. We just reviewed Prometheus and the Phileas Club, which is a show about international news from international perspectives. It's really fun. At patrickbeja.com, you have links to that there. And I'm not Patrick on Twitter. Not Patrick. One word.
Yeah. Don't forget, no watch means watch in French. Thanks, everybody, for watching or listening. You can find us on the web, twit.tv/TNT. You can email us, TNT@twit.tv. Give us a call and leave us a voicemail, 260-TNT-SHOW, or just record it as an MP3 and email it to us. We love that as well. I, as Akhtar, will be back on Monday, but Sarah Lane will be in London on Skype. It's all going to be crazy for the next few weeks. You've got to watch. We'll see you then.